What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. We are the Stone Cold Steve Austin, a sports betting podcast. Tell like it is, talk about things that others aren't willing to talk about, and that is very true of this episode of Laying the Points. I'm going to break the fourth wall on today's episode. Also going to talk about the conference championship games in the NFL. We have two very exciting, very tough games to bet on this weekend in the NFL between what I would say probably are the four top teams in the NFL. Eagles fans might be surprised to hear me say that. No, I acknowledge that. They should be in the final four of the NFL playoffs. So we'll talk about that. We'll break down those games from a betting perspective a little bit. And I will talk about, I'll give away an NBA free pick too. Why not? Like some things in the NBA tonight too. You can catch me as always right here on Laying the Points every single week. All things sports betting, give away free picks, NBA and NFL mainly. But I like to talk about all things sports betting. We've been betting on the Australian Open and winning. College basketball and winning. We're up 6 units right now in college basketball. Going to handicap more of the UFC this year. I haven't done that just yet. Historically, we have, and we win in that as well. And then, you know, come summertime, we might be talking about WNBA and Canadian football, because that's about all there is to handicap along with tennis. I'm not handicapping baseball much these days. No, thank you. Anyway, thank you all for joining me. As always, you can find me at the 33rd team as their head of betting on the BetUS NBA and NFL shows every single week. The BetUS NBA show is Monday through Wednesday, and I'm on the NFL show on Thursdays. And you can catch me with probably quite a few more affiliations down the road right here at Laying the Points as well. And FarleyBets.com is coming within the next week. Promise. You'll see free picks up there on FarleyBets.com every single day. All right, first let's talk about what I said I was going to talk about earlier this week, and that is breaking the fourth wall of the sports betting industry, because it needs to be talked about a little more. Because what we're experiencing right now in the sports betting industry, especially if you're trying to become a professional handicapper, it's really, really tough. Why is it tough? One, it's really tough because it's an oversaturated industry already, right? Everybody's trying to break into the marketplace, have an impression, produce content, maybe sell picks, or maybe not even sell picks, just try to up their viewer counts and followers on social media as they give out picks, probably in looking for opportunities to get onto a show or get more gigs or build up their records and their standing in the sports betting world, right? And you got a lot of oversaturation, which just means that there's a lot of cheap content, a lot of folks out there who don't really know the proper standards and procedures and processes and angles and philosophies and ways to look at sports betting and teams and players on a regular basis, right? Not that it's a black and white field. It is absolutely not. It's still theory. It's still just probability, right? They're not, the probability isn't black and white. It's not definite. It's not objective. But there are tried and true ways that sports bettors have gone about their business for a long time. And doesn't mean that that has to be the only way, but you don't, but there's a lot of people in the content space who really don't know what they're talking about. And they're giving out picks and they're giving out information. And sometimes it's just explicitly false. And it's obvious that it's false and they don't care. Sometimes it's kind of false, right? Which is even worse, because it's like, okay, well, that part is true, but are you sure about that part? You know, like when we talk about things like betting percentages, right? Like no website, I don't care what Vegas Insider or Action Network shows you, no website or no company knows where all the bets are going in every game. They just don't. That's proprietary information. Like I wouldn't even look at that. Like when you're making a bet, don't look at betting percentages, because you're going to recognize every time that you think a betting percentage led you in a certain way and it won, and you're going to forget about every time betting percentages maybe led you the wrong way and you lost, right? But people shout out about, oh, look at the 90% betting percentages on this team. I'm going to just bet the other way. And then they win. And then they're like, see, told you. Well, yeah, that happens sometimes. Doesn't mean it always happens. And you know, the probably the best thing you can do is listening to guys and girls who are in the sharp betting community who are speaking about or giving you signals about what they're betting, right? Because those are the folks that are going to move the betting line. Okay. But all that to say, that's not the fourth wall that I'm looking to break. We're breaking the fourth wall because we're going to talk about the fact that professional handicappers who are trying to go about things the right way are in a really tough spot, because right now there is still across the industry this sort of hazing that goes on, where it's really, really tough to get paid well in any way if you're selling picks. What do I mean by that? If you want to sell picks on an established website, they're probably going to take 70% or more from your premium picks that you would make. So in other words, you make $100 off of premium picks, they take $70, you take $30. And that happens on most well-known websites for a very long time, until they think that you've earned enough cred to get paid more. Maybe some of the better sites, 50% or 40% is what they take. Doesn't seem that bad, right? But if you're a professional, if you're dedicating your life to this industry, are you fucking kidding me? 50%? 70%? Like, your website better be legit. Your website better actually bring eyes onto the content that I produce as a professional handicapper. Like, if you're someone who knows what you're doing, a real pro handicapper that's giving their life to the industry and to the sport of sports betting, and you're tirelessly handicapping every single day, and a year goes by, 2 years go by, and you're still getting 50%, that's what's happening right now in the sports betting industry. And things have to change, right? And here's the thing, things are going to change. Sports betting picks, like giving out picks and getting paid for it, I think we are looking at the final days of that. Like, that's not going to happen much more anymore. Why? Because you have so many free offerings from very legitimate sports betting websites, right? There's a lot of free content out there. And again, a lot of it isn't that good, but people are learning, right? The public is getting sharper. The content providers are getting sharper. They're learning what works and what doesn't. And because the marketplace is expanding at such a high rate, those websites that want to leverage taking 50 to 70% of your money to sell picks are going to be a thing of the past. Like, it's not going to continue, right? Because as demand gets higher and higher, supply is going to get higher and higher too. There's going to be more and more, right? Because there's no end in sight as far as how many content providers and sports bettors there can be. You know, it's not like a standard product in that sense, where maybe it runs out, right? Maybe the supply is low. No, it's not going to be any low supply of sports betting content. So these websites out there that are still trying to lure people in, right, and pay them diddly squat for what they do, for giving out great expert picks, for having winning records year after year, being consistent, winning people a ton of money, and they're only getting paid 50 to 70% of their premium picks, all the hard work they're doing because they're channeling it through your website. Like, that's a thing of the past. Even at face value, it's kind of bullshit, but it's just how the industry has always worked, right? It feels like a hazing, right? Okay, we'll put you through the gauntlet here for a few years, and then we'll see if you have any worth to you. And then maybe we'll pay a 40%, maybe we'll pay a 60%, 60 out of 100. Like, what? I'm doing the work. And if my records are going up, like if I have a great record and great picks, I'm bringing more views to your website. Right? Like, that's you have to pay that person more. And all I've heard since I've gone into this industry are, oh, well, this is standard, 50%. Actually, 50% is really good. This is standard. It's bullshit, is what it is. Because on the one hand, you have really cheap content that doesn't take a lot of work, isn't high quality. And, you know, some of these people are getting paid, right? They get paid as part of the companies that they're with. So isn't that promoting that type of work? If we want to promote high quality, intensive handicappers, sports betting, like if we want that to be the model, you got to pay them. You got to pay them the right amount. And the reality is these websites, these companies of old, they don't have the money for that. They don't have the structure or the architecture for that. So if you're a pro handicapper, if you're a handicapper trying to become pro and get in the industry and sell picks and get your name out there, you should know, one, the pick selling business is not going to be a thing soon. In my opinion, it is not. It's an old, overworked model. It really is. Because then, you know, it also creates that tension, right? I'm paying for your picks. Your picks are losing. Refund me. Give me back money. And then it goes through the website. And then it goes to the handicapper. You know, and then there's tension. And then there's, you know, conflict between the bettor and the customers who freely chose to take their picks, right? Doesn't make much sense. But the ugly truth that most people don't want to talk about is real pro handicappers that are trying to do things the right way, most of them get paid diddly squat. Unless they have like 60% records year after year. So they just have so many packages where it doesn't matter, right? Like they make a lot of money. The website makes a lot of money, but it's still not fair, right? We're trying to talk about equity, equality, the distribution of work. We are furthering the disparity of quality content by not paying good handicappers what they deserve. More to come on this in future episodes of Laying the Points, but I've been through it. And I have to say too, there are companies that pay you the right way. You know, BetUS is one of those companies. You get paid good money for being on those shows and giving out picks. You really do. I can't complain. But there's not a lot of companies like that. You know, they'll pay you diddly squat. They'll pay you like 5 cents a word, you know, for like a betting article. Like, get out of here with that. Who's going to do that type of work? You know, you could start your own presence on social media and make so much more money, have so much more reach, and take 100% of the premium picks just by doing it through your own system, right? Your own website or just directly through email. I mean, I've done that for a long time. Why would I want to sell my picks at a website when I have 100% of the profit through me? And it's the same thing. Like, nobody cares. Nobody cares about your website. If you want to have a website in sports betting, make it free. FarleyBets.com is going to be free. There needs to just be more equity and more room for high quality sports bettors to fairly get paid and get their names out there. And, you know, of course, a lot of that is up to the sports bettor themselves, but a lot of that is this old archaic hazing system where you feel like you have to be a part of these websites to make any money. And it's pretty old. And, you know, as usual, it's like old white dudes just running shit. Like, nah, you got to do this. Fuck you, buddy. No, I don't. So there's just a lot of that going on. And, at the end of the day, I don't worry about it because I don't think pick selling is going to be a thing anymore. But it's you got to get through the gauntlet at first. At least that's how it used to be. Now, at least there's so much content that most of us can find our own lane, right? I've been doing this for 3 years now, and I'd much rather find my own lane. I'll put it that way. All right, let's get to these NFL conference championship games. And I'm going to first talk about the Philadelphia Eagles because I've gotten some feedback about things I've said about the Eagles. I probably sound pretty bitter or annoyed by the fact that the Eagles are in this position. But let me reframe this a little bit and let me start with this. Believe it or not, you may not believe this, but I have a lot of nice things to say about the Eagles. I do. There's a lot of, How could we not say a lot of nice things about the Eagles? First of all, offensive line and defensive line. This is a team that is probably easily number one in both categories. offensive line and defensive line. They have a bunch of veterans who have been in big game situations before, who are in their absolute prime. And when you win that war in the trenches, like the Giants defensive line has been playing well. They were dominated last week. Like it wasn't a fair contest. You know, you saw that one highlight of Jason Kelce, like throwing one of the Giants defensive tackles to the ground. You know, like that's a weekly thing for the Philadelphia Eagles. They move lines, offensive lines, defensive lines. So in the trenches, they're second to none. Their talent is incredible in the secondary, linebackers, wide receivers. I mean, the difference that A.J. Brown has made as a physical presence, that's something that the Eagles have needed. The Eagles have needed a wide receiver like A.J. Brown for about 15 years, basically ever since Terrell Owens left. They like, haven't had that guy, that physical presence out there. Now they have him, and A.J. Brown is not just a physical presence, obviously a very high football IQ, great catcher of the football, very athletic, fast. But he's a matchup nightmare. And then you got Devontae Smith on the other end. You got Dallas Goedert. Like this Eagles team has a ton of weapons. And you probably are not going to believe that I'm going to say this, but Jalen Hurts, in my opinion, he's the true leader of this team. He's a great on-field leader above everything else, which we've seen it, right? Look at Joe Burrow. Like as a quarterback, your leadership ability might be the most important thing. Obviously, you got to be able to whip that football out there. But as long as you have decent skill, if you're a great leader and you can read defenses and settle in and you have the offensive line that Jalen Hurts has, I mean, let's face it, at the end of the day, this dude has, you know, 3 to 4 seconds to throw the football on any given down because of how good his protection is. And that's not something most quarterbacks have, but let's give him credit. The dude hasn't made many mistakes this season, right? He's just winning. And, I mean, they have an unbelievable record of performance at home. And this week they are at home against the 49ers. But here's my issue with celebrating the Eagles too early. Okay? Because let's be honest about where this Eagles team has been this year and where they've been as a whole. First of all, playoff experience, big game experience. They don't really have any. Okay, last week they beat up on the Giants. It's impressive. But everybody, I mean, come on. Like, we know it. I've said it about the Giants plenty of times as a Giants fan. The Giants don't have the kind of talent to play with a team like Philly. And I thought that the momentum that the Giants had last week, some of the creativity I saw in their offensive schemes, would mean at least a closer contest. Third time seeing your NFC East division foe, and it still didn't matter because that's how talented the Eagles are, right? So the Giants just can't hang with them. That's fine. The Eagles methodology is always great against the Giants. They air it out first, they get ahead, and then the Giants can't catch up, right? Because that defense takes over. Daniel Jones, when he has to pass first, tough spot for him, not great at it, and they just wipe the floor with the Giants. The Giants are just an immature team, still developing, great coach, but they don't have it. The 49ers are not the Giants, okay? Even the 49ers, if you're playing them at home like the Eagles are going to be, they're not the Giants. And the only real, like, pressure-filled playoff experience, big game experience that we've seen from the Eagles is last year against the Tampa Bay Bucs. And in that game, Jalen Hurts went 23 of 43. That's 53%. Not good completion percentage. Two interceptions and one touchdown against a really good Buccaneers defense. A Buccaneers defense that's really good, but they're not as good as the 49ers defense is this year. Did you see the 49ers defense last week holding the Cowboys to 12 points? Cowboys dropped 40 points on the Eagles a few weeks ago. Folks, right? Like Gardner Minshew being a quarterback doesn't mean that the Cowboys should have dropped 40 points on Philly, but they did. Now, do I think that the 49ers are going to drop 40 on Philly? No, I don't. I actually think that Philly's defense is going to win in a lot of those scenarios because Brock Purdy hasn't seen the kind of pressure he's about to see. And the speed of the Eagles' secondary is elite. They're going to be like flies on shit, right? Like on those wide receivers. They're going to be all over there. It's going to be a really tough challenge for Brock Purdy this weekend. And I think that the Eagles' defense is going to probably win more than they're going to lose in their matchups against the San Francisco offense. And that's saying a lot. I mean, San Francisco is one of the best offensive lines in football. Trent Williams shut down Micah Parsons last week. And they have so much talent on offense. But I think the Eagles' defense can win a lot. The question is, can the Eagles' offense win a lot? Because here's what we don't know. As elite as their offensive line has been, they haven't seen a Nick Bosa, right? They just haven't. They just haven't seen the kind of personnel that the 49ers are going to roll out. I mean, we're talking about players in their prime, absolute savages. Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, Eric Armstead, Samson Ekibom, Tre'Davious Ward in the secondary, along with, man, this guy's name always gets me, Diamador Lenore. Talanoa Hufanga is becoming a star. I mean, this defense is loaded, and they're really well coached. And the problem for me is this. The Philadelphia Eagles, and specifically Jalen Hurts, haven't seen a defense like this all year. I mean, maybe Dallas's defense is comparable, and Dallas beat them once. Maybe the Saints defense at the end of the year is comparable. They're playing well, and they beat the Eagles straight up, only limited them to 10 points. Now, I know it was the end of the year. Minshew was a quarterback, but that was after a loss against Dallas back at home. And they got bullied in the trenches in that game. They did. If you watch that game, the Saints bullied the Eagles in the trenches. Who else? I mean, Pittsburgh in week 8, well, T.J. Watt wasn't back yet, which we all know makes a huge difference. I mean, as soon as he came back for the Steelers, their defense was entirely different. I mean, Washington played them hard and beat them once. Another good defense. Listen, the Eagles just haven't faced anybody yet, really. This is going to be the best team by far that they've faced all season. Definitely the best defense that they've seen all season. Not the best offense, right? Dallas' offense probably a little better than San Francisco. Although you'd be hard-pressed to find another offense that's really similar. I mean, you know, Minnesota was off that big win in week 1 against the Packers, so they flailed in week 2, only scored 7 points against the Eagles. But that's a tough spot for the Vikings on the road. You know, kind of saw that coming. But, like, you know, I mean, the Giants beat the Vikings, right? The Giants' defense played well against the Vikings. I mean, San Francisco's run game, their speed on offense, and now their defense. I'm just not convinced that this Philadelphia Eagles team is going to waltz in there and just blow out the 49ers. Like, they're going to the Super Bowl, folks. Like, no. Like, let's just pause and not give out any participation trophies here and be like, let's see how the Eagles are going to do, because this is a brand new situation. And by the way, one of their liabilities, one of their biggest liabilities, in my opinion, is Nick Sirianni. This dude, after their game against the Giants, who you should beat up on, was like clapping back at a reporter and then went on to say that Jalen Hurts is like the Michael Jordan of our football team, which you could tell, like, as he was saying it, he was like trying to stop himself, and he just couldn't stop himself because that dude has impulse control issues. Sorry, but he does. And you don't want that as a head coach, but that's what I mean. Jalen Hurts is the leader of this team, not Nick Sirianni. But Nick Sirianni, in high-pressure situations, we've seen it last year. We've seen it a little bit before, like this year. Man, we might see it again in this playoff game. He ain't that great. He ain't that great at handling pressure. Kind of flips out, right? Like, very emotional dude. San Francisco's defense is good enough to where I believe they are going to make Jalen Hurts throw the football in tight coverage to win this game. We have not seen Jalen Hurts have to do that at all this season, basically. He's had time. He's been comfortable. Right? I mean, bada bing, bada boom. It's just been what it has been. Maybe the closest thing we saw to that was against the Cowboys in their first game in week 6. Hurts played well, 155 yards through the air, nothing that great, but they did enough. And obviously, Dak Prescott didn't play in that game, right? It was Schultz. Whatever his name is. It doesn't matter. So maybe that was a tough test, but not. This is going to be a whole new ball game, folks. And my money right now, especially as an underdog, would be on San Francisco. Now, I don't have any thoughts on the total. I think the total could go either way. I would lean under for now. But just be careful about how confident you are in the Eagles. It's not that I don't think the Eagles have all the talent in the world. They have great on-field leadership. They could easily win this game. They could conceivably blow out the 49ers. That's how much I acknowledge that the Eagles are good. Like, built to do that, talent-wise. But there's a lot more, as we've seen in football, that is required than talent. And a lot of times you need the experience to gain the poise and to know what to do in high-pressure situations and how to handle it. And the Eagles have been coasting this season. Give them all the credit in the world. This is going to be a really tough spot, though. The other game, the Bengals and the Chiefs. This weekend is so hard because we don't really know, right? Like, we don't know what version of Patrick Mahomes we're going to see because he has a high ankle sprain. But then he came back in the game and he played beautifully. Like, he was moving around, scrambling, made things happen. And now that the Chiefs are underdogs in this game, it does make me feel like the value is more on Kansas City. Because you talk about a motivational aspect, right? Both of these teams, like Joe Burrow and the Bengals, were explicit. They talked about in the media how they were offended about how scheduling makers in the NFL was setting up the Bills and Chiefs as the next game that was going to happen, right? Like, that's the next game that's going to happen. They use that as fuel and motivation. But if the Bengals head to Kansas City and Arrowhead as favorites, I don't know what they can use as motivation here. I mean, they've already – Burrow is 3-0 against the Chiefs, and now they're favorites on the road. So if anything, that puts more pressure on Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Whereas the Chiefs have been like, all right, these SOBs have beat us 3 straight times. Now we're being treated as the underdog at home, and we're the Kansas City Chiefs. Are you kidding me? I think there is value in teasing up the Chiefs and 49ers as underdogs, maybe 6.5 points each, Niners to 9. Chiefs right now as it stands would go up to 7.5. I think it makes sense. It's really tough because conference championship games, you have elite teams that could blow each other out. So it feels a little scary, but I do think it makes some sense. Because Patrick Mahomes, we saw it last week. If this guy can stand, he's going to be in this game. So he's going to play. Like, we know he's going to play. But the Bengals have been absolutely flawless. And there's something special that's going on with Joe Burrow, his mentality, the way the team responds, Zach Taylor and what he does or just stays out of the way. You know, I think Zach Taylor is obviously masterful at handling these high-profile athletes and bringing them all together. Because he's either staying out of the way in the right ways at the right moments, or he's right there in the thick of it with Joe Burrow and everybody, and it's working. And the thing about the Bengals, like Ryan Reynolds, my buddy at the 33rd team, says all the time, is they prepare differently for each team that they face. You love to see that, right? Some teams, it's like they have no adjustments. This is a sharp team. High-level people. And that is going to be some battle there in KC. Check out the weather in that game, because right now my favorite play this weekend is over 47 in Bengals and Chiefs. I think the weather is starting to look better. Like, the wind's starting to calm down a little bit. It started out 16 miles an hour earlier this week. Now it says 10 miles an hour. 10 miles an hour at Arrowhead. easy for me to say, and no snow. So that's a better situation for points. I don't think you can stop Cincinnati. I don't think you can stop Kansas City. As good as those defenses can be, Chris Jones on one end, right, Hubbard on the other end. They got guys at both ends. Both of these defenses step up in these moments. But I don't think you're stopping Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow more often than not. So as long as the weather agrees, I think you go with an over. That's still my favorite bet of this weekend. But I do think that that teaser makes sense as well. Should be great TV, evenly matched teams, and no combination of the Super Bowl would surprise me. Right? Eagles-Bengals, Eagles-Chiefs, 49ers-Bengals, 49ers-Chiefs. Like, would not shock me at all. That's how good it's going to be, I think, this Sunday. All right, uncorrelated parlays don't make a lot of sense usually. Long term, you're going to lose if you have a lot of uncorrelated parlays. But I do like a parlay in tonight's NBA games. The Bucks are big favorites. The Magic are 6-point favorites. And the 76ers are favorites. I think parlaying three of them, you get plus money. Two of them, you get close to plus money. It makes sense. Because the Bucks are facing a Nuggets team off a back-to-back on the road. Nuggets aren't quite as good in the road. Bucks are really going to win this game. They're going to really want to win this game, excuse me. They're completely healthy. The Magic are off a good win against the Celtics. They have an extra day's rest. The Pacers just got a good win against the Bulls, but that was more about the Bulls being tired last night. Now the Pacers are going to be tired today at home last night. Now they're on the road at Orlando. That's a very quick turnaround for the Pacers. I think the Magic cover that line. So I like the Magic -6, and you can just take that at -110. But I like them as a parlay leg money line with the Bucks or the 76ers, where the 76ers have been playing some excellent basketball lately. Very, very good on defense. I think that's going to be a battle. I like the under in that game too, under 225.5 or 226. But money line parlaying two or three of those teams together or taking their sides makes sense to me. Don't parlay like Bucks -8 and 76ers -5 though, because one of the reasons why I like the money line parlay is because, you know, these lines are very sharp, I think. So 76ers could win by 4, you know, and the Magic could win by 6, and the Bucks could win by 8. I mean, I think they're very sharp at this point. So maybe look at a money line parlay or pick one of them that's your favorite. I like all those home favorites tonight in the NBA. Look forward to more analysis from me about the conference championship games of the 33rd team. Going to release an article soon, as well as my best bets. Catch me on the BetUS TV shows, NBA and NFL. As always, thank you, everybody, for listening to Laying the Points. It's always fun to create some controversy and talk about things, tackle things once that glass breaks. Hopefully Eagles fans feel a little better about my stance at this point. If you don't, too bad. You guys got to prove it first, man. You just got to prove it first. By the way, three coaches who have been in the Super Bowl are going to be in these conference championship games. Sirianni is the only one who hasn't, right? So, like, we got to get there first, okay? That's my only point. Let's pay real high-quality handicappers what they deserve. The saturated marketplace that is sports betting is only going to get more saturated. So maybe these websites can start doing things the right way. Probably doesn't matter in the long run. Betting picks are going to be free anyway. Thank you all. Love you so much. Laying the Points and Farley Bets. Let's win some damn money. We out of here.